And tonight's the second study I've done in Colossians. It's Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Colossians 2, 6 through 10. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, and in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Let us pray. Lord God, as we open up this word, let it open up to us the truth of this union between you and your people. You and those that you have called. You and those that have come. Those that have come this evening, Lord, I pray. And those that will hear on this DVD, Lord, that they might understand that this union is such a sacred and joyous union. I praise you. I praise you for the time that you have allowed me to bring this forward, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will use it in a mighty way and that it shall not return void unto you, Lord. And that it will accomplish everything that you have set it out to do, Lord. I thank you and wait upon you now. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Paul explains some of the initial responsibilities of the new Christian here and his walk with Christ to the saints at Colossae. While he being a prisoner of Rome, under arrest, and not the one who evangelized and established the church in Colossae, but by Ephesus and Timothy and others, he reminds them they have received Christ once for all through their teachings and under the power of and influence of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord walked within them, so walk ye in him. At first glance, and reading this scripture, this short little verse here, appears simple and direct. But as we read in the English translation, it states that in receiving Christ, we now walk in faith. And because of this, we are to be thankful. He then gives us a warning that there are those philosophers of worldly ways who will try to sway you from the teachings of Christ, which makes you complete. Let us take a more closer look at what Paul is so concerned about for these new Christians. In verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in him. What Paul is indicating here is that they did not just receive a doctrine, but Christ himself, which is the very essence of faith to regulate one's life and conduct. And so that you are in union with him, so ye walk with him, it tells us. This we also must do if we are children of God. John 14, 21 and 23 instructs us about this faith. The person who has Christ's commands and keeps them is the one who really loves him and will be loved by the Father. And Jesus himself will love that one And in that love, He will show Himself to him, making Himself real to him. Verse 23. He expounds on this by letting us know He and the Father will come to Him and make our home, that is plural, with Him. He makes us a special dwelling place. To realize how significant this is, we must look a little deeper. These are not just words, but God of creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit promises to be dwelling in you, each one of us, that accept what God has given us. This is the relationship we speak about with Christ. For He is in the Father, and the Father is in Him. And Christ Jesus is in us and gives us the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Paul, while writing to the church of Ephesus, said that he was entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles, by the way, which includes each one of us, the unending and fathomless riches of Christ, which we could never search out on our own. Never in 100 years. Never in our lifetime. He would make plain the plan of salvation of all men, all mysteries hidden through the ages and through the church, the many-sided wisdom of God, not only to us, but to the angelic rulers and to the powers of the heavenly spheres. Truly, this is a most powerful union. Powerful union. Colossians 2:7 says, we will have our roots firmly planted in Him and continually being built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in our faith. The Greek word here for rooted implies a built up massive solidity. Here we find one image is not sufficient to express all that divine truth. So another is employed to supply the idea required, and he uses this root. I don't know if you've ever dug up a flower with a heavy root. Well, I've just been digging up cannabis leaves. Well, the root is massive, and the structure around it, all the little feeders and all, they become solid, so that you actually have to break up the mass. And this is what this is telling us about, that we are rooted, a solid mass, in this union. In Galatians 2, verses 15 and 16, Paul reveals his source and authority as he himself was chosen by Christ and set apart by God's grace and undeserved favor, and was pleased to make him fit to reveal his Son within him, so that to proclaim him among the Gentiles. All this he exhorts us to practice in our life and to do as we walk through it. This is the message Paul brings to the Colossians in this epistle. For there are some who are coming to pollute the gospel message with their self-importance, their intellectualism, injecting human ideal and material world into it, rather than the God-revealed spiritual world, which, by the way, is so prevalent today that one is hard-pressed to find the truth in a God-honoring church or assembly that brings this message of Christ. Whereas here, the Colossians, in this passage, it is written to an individuals, rather individuals, whereas in the other assembly in Ephesians, it was written to a church. He emphasizes this with abounding therein with thanksgiving, bringing forth a fuller meaning in their faith as in God as the gracious author of this whole blessing. God has blessed them with a tremendous announcement through the gospel, through this passage here. And there are some that want to come and to dilute it, to pollute it, and to remove it, actually, from their understanding. So beware. Paul now warns them. The Greek means to look well. It means to watch for someone who will spoil you. Not as rotting or decay, but the Greek meaning is to rob. This kind of spoil is to rob. As to plunder or take away that which you may be in possession of. Your salvation, your faith. False teachers entering into the church, substituting the truth with lies. Their human philosophies, as they boast of a better knowledge of a higher wisdom, transmitting by tradition among the privileged, obtained by self-denial, penance, and such works of human endeavors. The area had a propensity, where they lived, for the mystical and magical in their worship. Worship of false gods. They would, in time, revert back to the false worship and gods and the rudiments of the world, forsaking ever so gradually the teachings of Christ by these worldly doctrines, eventually and actually denying Him. God was not only speaking to the Colossians through Paul and the Holy Spirit, but also to you and I. It is the satanic influence today that seeks to destroy our worship of Jesus Christ, as it was then. We must beware that your faith is not supplanted by a philosophy, which are mere fallacies and maintained by reasonable but not solid arguments and by considerations not fitted to lead to the truth. Although Paul had two sources of danger that the Colossian church was exposed to, we are very much in the same position. He had the Grecian philosophers and the Jewish opinions, the latter being of traditions which were based on the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and were added to the words of the prophets and the laws and given by God and not after the teachings of Christ Jesus as the apostles taught. We have today established religions, some which claim Christ totally based on traditions, as well as humanistic scientific religions, not based on any supreme authority, others with a mixture of all, plus the individual performance of works as a necessity for salvation. Each one will corrupt the grounded teachings of the Church of the Apostles. Church that was commissioned by Christ and taught by His holy word. We must be on guard that we do not fall into these traps devised by Satan and relying on the the deductions and speculations that have appropriate reasoning rather than Christian teachings of the Holy Word, especially where there is an area of void of specific wording. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For, that word here means because these worldly philosophies are not seeking Christ or truth, as all true philosophy should, and as everything which comes not from or leads not to him, being a delusion. For in him alone dwelleth, it says, as in a temple, the fullness of the Godhead, theotis, the Greek word is here, not just divine perfection and attributes of divinity. All that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is, all his divine nature in Christ Jesus, in his incarnate life, not just God's knowledge or power or wisdom, but the whole of deity. And the most exciting and rewarding part of this, all believers, by union with him, partake of this fullness of the divine nature. Do you realize that? The fullness, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We take part of that, you know, that divine nature into us. This is the union. This is the relationship. For out of the fullness that is his abundance we have all received, that has been supplied with spiritual blessings upon spiritual blessings, and favor upon favor, spiritual gift upon spiritual gift. For in him all fullness of the Godhead dwells. Divine nature and perfection. This great doctrine about Christ, that all fullness of Godhead dwelleth in him, and that every system of religion which denies this doctrine is to undermine the whole Christian faith and promote their philosophical false teachings, and must be avoided and taken flight from, as they are the very works of Satan himself. This is why the true Christian cannot be part of an ecumenical service that incorporates them into a common worship time. Verse 10, are you complete in him who is the head? You are complete of him who is the head of the principality and power. Why? Again, my little grandson would say, how come? And I like that word, how come, instead of why. Again, we are complete in him, having no need for the reason of our great salvation by any help from any worldly philosophy or tradition. What Christ has to offer is all that is needed to secure our eternal peace and relationship with the Godhead now. Have you ever experienced peace leading you in your life walk? Have you ever had a situation unfolding before you and you know the only way this could happen is that the Spirit of God has been guiding you and working in you and working before you? Have you ever had that happen? Well, it's been happening more and more in my life. Things that should not happen. Things that are happening that I have no understanding about. People are being guided. Words are coming from me that I normally wouldn't say. But, of course, I don't know the people. But yet, they fit the situation. And that's what this is meant here. As the Godhead ministering to you through the Spirit teaches you what you need to know and what you need to say and what you need to do. The Colossians needed no additional source of grace, such as false teachers, offer and physical or ceremonial rites give us. We need them not. Also, it is by grace and the grace of God. More joy in Christ than either the seeing eye, the hearing ear, or the vast understanding of the heart, which can add a multitude to any form of thoughts, can possibly conceive. That type of joy. Experience it. Grow close to Him, and it'll happen. What needs to be said now is to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. To know His name, to know the working of His ways, of His life, is not to know Him. There are many who work in and amongst true believers and perform the same tasks that we do, that Christ Himself has set before us. He set them before us for us to do. And they're doing them. But do not know Him intimately. And at the end of their worldly walk, as they come before Him for judgment, well, He will say on that day, or the man will say on that day, "Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in Your name and driven out demons in Your name and have done mighty works in Your name?" And I will say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Matthew 7, 22 and 3. Why? Because there was never a relationship with Christ. "For the Lord knoweth them that are His, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." 2 Timothy 2:19. So if you're living in iniquity, and you're doing the work of the Lord, you will not see Him on the end days. You will be departed from Him. And there are many that do that. There are many that look well, that sound well, that appear to be well by their actions and where they're at, but their heart is not right. They deceive themselves, but you can't deceive God. This word iniquity is an all-encompassing word for sin. And sin is that which our Lord asks us to do and we do not do. Also that which we are told not to do and we do it. How many times have we slipped as Christians and just fit into one of those situations? Do you go back to Him? Do you come nightly to Him and ask for forgiveness? That's what He's there for. We are asked to be our neighbor's helper and to love them as we love ourselves. And He is a jealous God, and we are to love Him above all else. No exceptions. To be faithful to Him. To be obedient to His word. Therefore, you can understand how some might be lost in his or herself self-importance or needs and neglect the Lord Jesus Christ. So be then like the psalmist and cry out to the Lord. "Thus my heart was grieved and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterwards receive me unto thy glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who deserted you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Oh, confess your sins to him. Plead before him forgiveness in Jesus' name, and then walk the other way. Walk with the Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, it sounds so easy just to turn around and ask forgiveness, to believe what has just been said tonight. Because it's so easy, nobody believes it, Lord. Because it's before us, and all we have to do is act, it isn't done. It seems that we have to have hurdles to run and to jump over. We have to perform and act and do something special, Lord, to receive your blessings. No, no. All we have to do is believe. And I pray for those who don't believe. I pray, Lord, that you will just waken them up from their deadness. Oh, Lord, give them a heart of flesh. Give them a heart of understanding that they might plead with you, that they might ask for forgiveness, and that from this moment on, Lord, they might be indwelled by you. I pray that now. For all my family, for all my friends, for all those that are within listening of my voice, Lord, that they turn themselves over to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.